Thanks, guys. Have a seat. Have a seat. So I've just got married. Woo! Everyone go woo! I know my husband's not here. How bad's that? But anyway, it's all good. So my last name was originally Mel Schwalger. That was my original name, Mel Schwalger. But now it's changed to Mel Wade. Much easier, isn't it? It's gone from a big, massive German last name to a boy's first name. Hi, Mel Wade. Tough crowd this morning, guys. Didn't sleep so good last night. Now, I heard you've had Thomas Hansen with you. Oh, we love Thomas. I love Thomas. I work with Thomas most days, and he's a great guy. But you know what? I am pumped to be here this morning. And the other day, I was sitting in my office, and I was thinking about today. And, you know, I really felt like God just dropped in a few things into my spirit about, you know, just to talk to you about today. And this morning, I want you to be open. And I want you to just open your heart and just let God and allow God to come in and speak to you. You know, it's not an accident that you're here this morning. It's not an accident. And it's not an accident that I'm here this morning either. You know, God has a plan and a purpose for every single one of you. Every single one of you. Not one of you are exempt from His plan or purpose. Not one of you. And this morning I just wanted to share a few things that I thought maybe would encourage you. Would encourage you to go forward and not step back. You know, it's great to have conference. It's great to come and get fired up. But you know what? Tomorrow morning's a whole different day. You know, tomorrow morning we're back at school. Tomorrow morning we go to work, we go to uni, whatever we're doing. And what we need to do is carry what we've had this weekend and what God's taught us into our everyday life. Is that true? Good. You guys are listening well. I'm happy. All right, well, when I was born, I thought I would just share a little bit of my story. Is that okay? All right, good. So, my mum and dad had me when my dad was 15 and my mum was 16 when I was conceived. And they were at high school back in New Zealand. I'm from New Zealand. Anyone from New Zealand? Yes, come on. Go the mighty All Blacks. They beat Australia yesterday. Yes. I'm not a sheep, buddy. This guy's making sheep jokes. It's not funny. Anyway, go home. Oh, you are home. I should. No, I won't. I live here now. It's my home. So back in 1976, I'll let you work out how old I am. Oh, I'm so old. Anyway, my mum was 16 and my dad was 15 when I was born. And, you know, as you can imagine, being born to parents at that age, it wasn't so easy. And my mum, she went to the hospital to give birth and my dad was in a maths exam at school. Can you believe that? I know, it's embarrassing. I tell the story, it's all right. They don't mind me telling the story. And so my dad's in a maths exam at school and they say to him, "Excuse me, son, you need to go to the hospital." And so dad obviously knows why he's going to the hospital. Gets to the hospital, he's in the waiting room. And back in the old school days, they didn't let, you know, other people go in when, you know, the ladies were giving birth. They wouldn't let them go in. And so my dad's in the waiting room and the doctor comes up to him and says, "Are you waiting for your mother, son?" He's like, "No, I'm waiting for my girlfriend." And he's at the doctor's like, "Oh, okay." Because my dad's still in his school uniform. Beautiful. So anyway, my dad goes in and I'm born, here I am. And, you know, he was really pumped. But, you know, after that, life wasn't so peachy. And, you know, my mom and dad, they didn't stay together. They broke up and you know, and stuff wasn't so good. And I grew up into a situation where I thought, you know, my mom and dad tried their hardest, but they split up and things weren't so great. There was a bit of abuse that went on. There was things that happened that as a young child I shouldn't have seen, you know, stuff that happened that should have made me something that I'm not today. You know, and statistically, when you look at the statistics, the government would say that I shouldn't be where I am today. Because my mum and dad never finished school. My mum and dad never did higher education. They had a child before they were, you know, got married. They did stuff that wasn't right. You know, that back in those days was just, you know, it was like, what was going on? You know, and the government would say that I should be like them. Because, you know, often we follow the generation that's been before us. you know, and we follow the pattern and we follow the trend. And I shouldn't really be like that, but I'm not. You know, and I've defied all of the statistics. You know, I'm the first person in my whole family, both sides of my family, to ever finish high school. I know, thanks guys. Now, I didn't get the greatest marks, but that's all right, I finished. You know, I'm the first person in my family to get married without having a child first. You know, just small little victories like that have made it, have made me a statistic that not what the government would say that I am. You know, and you know what, it's been a time where I've had to make choices every single day. Every single day, make a choice towards God and not away from God. Every single day, I've had to make choices. And I remember when I was, you know, just around about 15, and my mum became a Christian when I was about 5 or 6, she became a Christian. But things, you know, slowly changed. But when I was about 15, I remember literally thinking there was two ways. There was two paths in front of me. One path that I could go this way and that would be my own choice and I could do whatever I want, or I could go this other path that was slightly more difficult, that was going towards God, that was doing everything that my friends weren't doing. And I remember thinking, what am I going to do? And I remember choosing the path that went towards God. You know, and life for me has been unbelievable since then. You know, making a choice towards God. And you know, this morning I wanted to talk to you about freedom in God, the freedom that is in God. And you know, I don't know how people do it without God. I literally don't know how people do it without God. I don't know how life works out. Have you ever thought that? For some of you that may know God pretty well, and you think, how do people do it without God? You know, when tough times happen, when stuff happens in your life, I don't know how people do it without God. I literally don't know how they do it. I don't know how they do it. But this morning I want to let you know that there is such freedom in God. And a guy before got up, sorry, I can't remember his name, but he got up and he talked about a verse in John 10:10 that says, I came that they may have real and eternal life, more and better life than they ever dreamed of, a full, abundant life. You know, this morning I want to tell you that you can have a full and abundant life in God. That you can have a full and abundant life. And you know what? It doesn't matter what the circumstances are to date. It doesn't matter what has happened in the past. It doesn't matter. Today is a fresh new day. A brand new beginning. And this morning, I really feel like that for some of you. There are choices that you need to make. A deliberate choice this morning towards God. A deliberate choice. And you know what? You may have already asked God into your heart. You may have, you know, accepted Him. You know, and salvation is yours and you are all about that. That's great. And that's awesome. But you know what? We can ask God into our hearts, but there are still more steps that we need to take. Because life doesn't just become rosy and peachy after we've done that. There are decisions that we need to make. And this morning, you know, I wanted to tell you that because I grew up with one side of my family being Christians and the other side of my family not being Christians. You know, and I've seen as I've grown up what it's like to live without God and what it's like to live with God. And you know, the side that says living without God might say, yeah, oh, there's so much freedom though. You know, I can do whatever I want. There's no rules. I can just do, you know, whatever I want to do. Can I just tell you that that's not actually freedom? It's not actually freedom. Freedom is found in God. And when I look at the side of my family that is held fast to the Bible and held fast to the words that are written in this book, and maybe it might have seemed that there was a few more rules, or, you know, they're not even rules, they're guidelines. You know, guidelines to how to live. And I look at this and I look at their family and my two sides of my family, and I'm like, man, I know what side I want to go for. I know what side I want to go for. And you know, this year, God has fulfilled some of the dreams of my heart. And I think I'm so glad that I held tightly to God. I'm so glad. And this morning, seriously, guys, you need to hold tight to God. Hold tight. Don't think that you can do it alone, because you can't. I've tried it and you can't do it alone. You know, on this, I know that for some of you there are so many desires and dreams within your heart, and you're thinking, how are they ever going to take place? If you hold tightly to God, they will take place. You know what, this year I went to Rwanda. I've been to Rwanda twice. I don't know if anyone knows where Rwanda is. Good, Africa, good. It's a brainy student down here. So in Africa, I've been to Africa twice this year, and I went into this tiny little country of Rwanda. You know, in Rwanda, 12 years ago, they had genocide, and over 1 million people died in that country. And so for us to go over there, and we did a few youth rallies, and we took our band from church, and we had the most amazing, amazing time. I remember standing at the side of the stage thinking, I'm so glad I made that choice when I was younger. I made that choice towards God because some of the dreams in my heart to go to Africa, to work in an orphanage, to see children that, you know, have been in poverty, come out of poverty. Like, seriously, it's amazing. And for some of you here this morning, there are dreams and desires in your heart that seriously can take place if you just hold tightly to God. Hold tightly to God. Don't let go. You know, regardless of what's happened, hold tightly, because dreams can happen. Another dream that came to pass in my life this year is that I got married. Yay! I know. It's good. It's good. I waited a while. And, you know, I met this beautiful man, and, you know, I ended up marrying the man of my dreams. Absolutely unbelievable man. And I, you know, I'm so glad, and we waited. You know, we didn't live together before we got married, and we, you know, did all the things that we felt was the right things in God to do, and we got married. And you know what? It was such a testimony to my family. You know, and I just think back to the choices. I know I'm saying things over and over, but I want you to get it. Making a choice in your age now, when you're young, when you're, you know, under 20, make the choices that you make now will so determine your destiny. You know, what happens in the future. You know, my parents made a choice when they were younger and they, you know, had me. But then when my mum got older and she made a choice towards God, it totally changed everything. And, you know, so much has happened, but finding freedom in Christ. And the first thing that I've just got a couple of points that I wanted to talk to you about. And the first one is not doing it alone. And not going it alone. And in Hebrews, I've got the Message Bible. Okay. Guys, my Bible's totally ripped. How bad's that? So anyway, I'm just turning it over here. And in Hebrews 13, it says this. God is there ready to help. I am fearless no matter what. Who or what can get me? You know what? We're often guilty of trying to make things happen ourselves and trying to get things done by ourselves. But you know what? You don't have to do it alone. God is there to help. You don't have to do it alone. Don't keep trying to do it alone. Always include God in every single thing that you do. Always include Him. Take Him on board every single step that you take. Because you know what? I wouldn't be where I am today unless I did that. Unless I did that. And so the first thing is don't go it alone. God is ready to help. Even if you know God, we can be so guilty of trying to make things happen ourselves. Who's ever guilty of trying to make things happen themselves? I am. I am so guilty of that sometimes. But you know what? Freedom is found in letting go. Freedom is found in letting go and letting God take over. And not being control freaks and not trying to take control of your own life, but giving it to God and letting Him have control in your life. It's so important. It's so important, guys, that you let go and let God. Don't go it alone. Don't go it alone. You know, when you're at home or when there's decisions to make or when you're at school and there is stuff that's going on and you're like, how can I do this? You know what? Don't go it alone. Don't go it alone. Don't take the path of loneliness. Oh, I can do it. Me, you know, I'm the one. No. Don't go it alone. Hold tightly to Him. Because God is with you every step of the way. It says in His word that He promised never to forsake or leave us. You know, on so many situations that I've had happen in my life, I'm like, I am not going to go this alone. I am not going to go this alone. And for some of you this morning, you need to hear that. Not to go alone. Don't do it alone. Don't do it alone. Hold tightly to Him. do it with God, even if it's just, you know, and in a practical way, just simply asking God, saying, God, be with me today. How do I do this? I need you to help me. It's very, very simple. Just simple, simple things. Okay. The second thing that I've written down here is that you need to live beyond yourself. Live beyond who you are. Living in a constant place of worship. You know what? We need to live beyond us. It needs to not always be about me, 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 and me all the time. It needs to be about others. You know, and if you live in a constant place of worship, and when I say a constant place of worship, I mean thanking God. Constantly thanking God for what you have. You know, there's so many times we can thank God, you haven't helped me at all. Oh, just so don't help me. But you know what? There's always something to thank God for. Always. Always something to thank God for. Just thank Him that you can breathe if you can't think of anything else. Just thank Him. A constant flow of worship. Thanking God. Praising God. Loving God. And then giving to others. There is so much that you can give beyond yourself. So much. A constant flow of living beyond you. A constant flow of worship. Okay. And the third thing that you need to be committed to, and this is the thing that I really felt like sitting in my office the other day that God just laid on my heart about today and just speaking to some of you guys, is about just sorting out the issues. You need to be committed to sorting out the issues. You need to be committed to forgiving. You need to be committed to loving, committed to letting go, committed to restoration in your life. You know, some of us need to give up the pride. Some of you boys have got some pride that you need to just give it up. Let it go. Take the barriers down. We need to be humble. We need to admit to ourselves that we are wrong sometime, and we need to stop judging. You know, in Romans 12 it says this: bless your enemies, no cursing under your breath. Laugh with your happy friends when they're happy. Share tears when they're down. Get along with each other, don't be stuck up. Make friends with nobodies, don't be the great somebody. Don't hit back, discover beauty in everyone. And if you've got it in you, get along with everyone. Don't insist on getting even, that's not for you to do. I'll do the judging, says God. I'll take care of it. You know, for some of us this morning, we need to forgive. And, I just really feel that on my heart. And before I even came here, and this morning when I was praying and I'm thinking, what is it that you want me to talk to them about, God? And, you know, I just felt to share some of the stuff, but I really felt like God said to me, there are people there that really need to forgive. You know, and I'll just tell you a little bit about my story. And, you know, I've told you a little bit about my mum and dad and how I came into this world, and, you know, my dad in his school uniform, and that's all very funny, but, you know, my dad wasn't there a lot of the time of my life. And there was a lot of broken promises. And some of you have had some broken promises. And some of you have believed stuff and stuff hasn't happened, and you know, it's just caused you to be bitter or caused you to be angry. And, you know, for me, I just, you know, as a young girl, I would sit and wait for my dad to turn up. I'd go out to my little letterbox. I had a little white letterbox, and I would go and sit on the letterbox, and my mum would say, Dad's coming to pick you up today. You know, how exciting. And I'd be like, yay. And I would sit out there on the letterbox. And, you know, hour after hour, I'd wait, and my dad wouldn't turn up. And, you know, after a while, as a child, you start to just build up a wall of, well, you know, he's not ever going to turn up. And this is, and no, and all boys are like that. They're never going to turn up. They're always late. You know, and you can start to think stuff just isn't good. I remember feeling like I had so much unforgiveness in my heart. And, you know, this morning for some of you, there is unforgiveness in your heart. It might not be towards your dad. It might not be towards your mom. It might be just something small that someone's done, but it's caused a callous on your heart. It has caused you to become, you know, slightly bitter in some weird way. Or something's happened and you know that you've got to forgive. You know that you've got to forgive. You know what? There is freedom in forgiveness. There is freedom in forgiveness. You know, and as you forgive, God forgives you. You know, and I really feel like that for some of you, there needs to be just a door that needs to be flung wide open. You know, so that forgiveness can just permeate through your life. And there are people that you need to forgive, and you know what? They don't deserve your forgiveness. You know, my dad didn't really deserve my forgiveness a whole lot. But I had to do it. And I remember writing him a letter and saying, "Dad, you know, I forgive you." And my dad just laughed at me and was like, "What do you forgive me for?" And I'm like, "Oh, don't worry." You know? But the thing is this morning is that the first thing is you need to not go it alone. Not to go it alone. The second thing is to live in a constant place of worship. A constant place of worship. And the third thing is that you need to sort out the issues. Whatever it is, be committed. Be committed, young people, to sorting out the issues. You know, I was at Hillsong Conference this year and there was a guy there called Israel Houghton. I'm not sure how you say it. But he's this guy that, I don't know if any of you were there, but he's this awesome singer, and he got up and he sings a song called "I Am Not Forgotten." I don't know if any of you have heard it, but it's an amazing song. And he got up and shared a little bit about his testimony and about how his mom was a, you know, prostitute and stuff, and she got pregnant, and her parents kicked her out and said, "That's it. If you're going to have this baby, you can get out of here." She got kicked out on. He got kicked out onto the streets, and somewhere along in the streets, she was, you know, just walking around, and someone came up to her and said, "You're not forgotten." And you know, just an amazing testimony. Amazing, amazing testimony. I seriously, guys, this morning, I know I sound like I'm harping on and whatever, but I really feel like that some of you this morning need to understand that you are not forgotten, that you need to forgive, and that you need to let go, and you need to let God take control of your life. You know, and when you let go and when you let God take control, you will not believe what happens. You will not believe what happens. You know, this morning I was wondering if the band could come. I'm going to get them to play that song they were playing before, Majesty. And, you know, it's such a challenge for us all to live beyond who we are. And it's a challenge for us to take a look inside of who we are. It's such a challenge to look in sometimes and to go, okay, what is it that's not right about me? What is it that I need to change? What is it? Who is it that I need to forgive? Maybe for some of you there's been issues with your dad, or maybe there's been issues along the way, but this morning I feel like that there are some people that need to get some things sorted out. You know, there's some people that have been broken. Some of you young people that have been broken and just have felt like that, you know, I need God to come and stitch me back up. You know, for some of you, you might be thinking, "Well, I feel fine. I'm so fine. I don't need it. I'm cool, man. Like, I sorted it all out." You know what? That's great. That's awesome. And I want you to pray for the people that aren't feeling so right this morning. There's some of you that need a little bit of healing in your heart to take place this morning. You know what? I want everybody to close their eyes and maybe bow their heads. Just give each other a little bit of privacy right now. Father, I thank you, God, that you are such a good God. Lord, that you know our hearts, God. Lord, you know what's going on, Father. You know every single hair on our head, Lord God. Lord, you know every part of our being. And God, this morning I pray, here on the 20th of August in the Acer Arena, Lord, when we're just sitting in here, God, in 2006, Father, I pray that something will change. God, I pray that something will break open over our lives, Lord God. Lord, I pray that young people, that myself, that we will all start to live in a constant place of worship, God. Lord, I pray for young people this morning that have got some stuff that they need to sort out, that they've got some unforgiveness towards some people, that they have some pride that they need to let go of and let you in, Lord Jesus. God, I pray. I pray for your presence to come and permeate this place this morning, God. Lord Jesus, God, I pray that we don't hold back. Lord, I pray that we don't hold back, God. But I pray that we let you in, Jesus. Jesus. Holy Spirit, have your way in here, Lord. Jesus. You know, this morning I think that one of the things I wanted for us to do is just to pray for some people. You know, and if you're feeling like that you've got some of this unforgiveness, or you've got some stuff that you know that you need to sort out, you know that God's calling your name right now, and you know that you've got to give it up, that you need to get stuff right. You know what? I'm going to ask for a bold statement this morning. A bold, bold statement. You know, we're all family in here together today. You know, and if you need to get some stuff right this morning, you know, I really wanted to allow some time for us to get some stuff right. And if that's you this morning, I'm not sure how we kind of do this, but if you want to stay where you are. But I think it would be really good if they came to the front. Is that what you guys kind of do? Is that cool? All right, whatever. You know, if you really feel like, what we're going to do is we're all going to stand up in a second, not yet, but when we stand up, if you feel like that you need some prayer this morning, that you need to make a decision, that there's some unforgiveness that you need to get out, that there are some issues in your heart that you need to sort out, then this morning I want you to make a bold statement. I want you to make a bold decision. I want you to come down the front, and some of the leaders and myself, we're going to pray for you. And you know what? I know that there are people here that are in that position, because I feel it so strongly. You know, so if that's you this morning, when we stand up, I want you to come to the front. I want you to let go of some of the things that you've been holding on to. I want you to let go and let God. So when I count to three, we're going to stand up. And those of you that need to come down to the front, I want you to do it. Don't hold back. This is your opportunity. This is your opportunity. So in one, don't hold back. Let God permeate your life. Two, from the back to the front, left to the right, I want you to open your heart to God. Open your heart to God. Okay, three, let's all stand up. And if that's you, I want you to come down to the front. I want you to come down and let God do some stuff in your life. Allow God to do some stuff in your life. Don't be afraid. You know, don't be ashamed. It's okay. If you're embarrassed, you know what? I was embarrassed as well when I was a teenager, but I did it. I did it. I came down, and maybe you just want some prayer where you are. Well, you know, you can put your hand up, but I honestly think bold steps towards God. Take some bold steps towards God, some bold steps. We're going to sing this song, and as we sing, those of you who are feeling okay and that you don't feel like you need to sort too much stuff out this morning, I want you to sing with all of your heart. I want you to reach forward to some of these people that have come up the front.